If you would join me in grabbing a copy of Scripture, we are looking at another psalm this morning, Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, a psalm written for the choir director for flute accompaniment or a wind instrument, Psalm of David. And last time we looked at Psalm 4, a wonderful psalm that taught us that because God has proven to be our faithful Heavenly Father, He's faithful, He's perfectly reliable, that we are to hope in Him. We're to hope in Him. And we're always to hope in Him even when others don't. We see this in David's life, that there were times in which he was encouraged by other people to continue in the faith and hold fast to the faith, but there were other times where people that he loved and trusted betrayed him. And David is a wonderful example for us, an example of Christ, of continued faithfulness, even when others around him abandon him, as we see in Christ's life as well. And this morning, we're looking at another morning prayer of David that's a plea for protection. He's asking God to protect him. He's asking him for justice to be done. And It's this protection and this justice that is a source of wonderful joy for David in his life. And this psalm helps us of many questions we can ask that this psalm helps to answer. But one of them is what should we do when we are sinned against and we're tempted to be bitter or tempted to take revenge into our own hands or to revile in return or whatever it may be? How are we to respond when we're tempted to respond sinfully to the sin that we have been experiencing, maybe from someone else or a group of people? So if you would please join me in looking to Psalm chapter 5. This is the word of the Lord, beginning in verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells in you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow down in reverence for you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter in their tongue, with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out. For they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Amen. May the Lord add blessing upon blessing, heap his blessings upon us this morning as we seek to go to His Word and ask Him for His Holy Spirit's blessing, that we might understand it and live by it and find our hope in it. So please join me in prayer as we ask Him for this wonderful blessing. Our wonderful Lord, you have told us that you have caused all Scripture to be written for our learning. And so we pray that you will teach us with your divine teacher this morning, the Holy Spirit, that You will help us that we would truly hear, spiritually hear, read, we would learn, and inwardly digest your truth. We pray for the comfort of your holy word, by the power of your spirit, that we may embrace and forever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. Well, in one of my first jobs after Tanya and I got married, I worked for a medical billing company, which some of you have talked to in the fall. It's not a very pleasant experience to have to talk to somebody about medical billing, and it's not a pleasant experience to work on the other side of that and talk to people that don't want to talk to you about medical billing. But I helped out with a few things, and one of the things I helped out with were some practices, some doctor's offices that wanted to include like a little iPad right when you walk in and type in your information and answer these questions. And so we had to order these little cases. And I don't think anybody really likes doing that, but that's one thing they wanted to do, so we tried to help them do that. And we ordered these fancy metal cases that you could mount to the wall or table so nobody could steal the iPad. So we got them, and some of them didn't work, some of them did work. And they came with a satisfaction guarantee. A lot of things nowadays come with satisfaction guarantees. And so we were stuck with a few that we wanted to return, and I was in charge of having to do that and call, and didn't get an answer, waited a day or two, called, didn't get an answer, and it went on and on and on. And finally, I talked to the guy that actually sold us the iPad holders or whatever, the kiosk things, and he basically just said, oh yeah, we went out of business. And so now we're just stuck with these iPad things that, you know, most people don't want to buy. So it's not like you can just resell it to somebody. And we finally got a hold of him, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm actually working for somebody else now, and we don't sell those anymore. We couldn't get our money back. They had a shallow, superficial guarantee. Well, this morning, we are going to look at some guarantees that we have when we come to God that are not shallow, that are not superficial. The psalm this morning, I want to point out three guarantees in our relationship with God that we should rejoice in. These guarantees in our relationship with God that fuel our worship for Him. That when we look at even people in this life that guarantee things and always fall short, or sometimes fall short, that we can always, always rely upon our Heavenly Father to follow through on His promises and the benefits we have with Him in our relationship with Him. So the first reason that we have joy as Christians from the psalm that we can look at is the guarantee of being heard. The guarantee of being heard gives us joy. And we see this in the first seven verses of our psalm this morning, where David opens with a plea. He opens with a request for God. He picks up his spiritual phone and reaches out to God for help, if you will. And even though David is the king of Israel, he recognizes that God is the divine king. You know, if you're the top dog, who do you go to for help? Well, if you're David, you recognize that God is the true, ultimate, divine king of Israel, as he says in verse 2. Who has the authority over even the highest earthly authorities? Well, it's God. David recognizes this. He finds comfort in this. And it's in that sense that David recognizes that God is not just the king, but He is my king. He makes it personal. Verse 2. David says, give ear. Verse 1. He says, consider my groanings. Listen. I call out to you, hear my voice. And he says, my God, my king. Because he's not putting his faith in any other false god, false king. David is basically saying, you are the only one true and living God, and that's why I'm praying to you. Or as David said at the end of verse 2, he says, for to you I pray. There's a lot behind that. One of the things is that David is applying that I'm praying to you, God, not anybody else. This is one of the ways that we as Christians show that God is the one and only true God, is that we don't pray to false gods. We don't pray to ourselves when we go to prayer, even though sometimes we might murmur to ourselves, but ultimately we pray to the one true living God. And we not only pray to the one true living God, but we pray to a holy, good, and gracious God. And I think that's what David is getting at in verse 4. Because David is describing God in this next series of verses. It'd be one thing if David was praying to a God who was short-tempered, or he delighted in lies. You know, imagine if the God who created all the universe was corrupt. He delighted in the lies, or suffering, or bloodshed. But David finds joy not only in that God hears him, but in the character of God himself. Where he says, what God is not like. David and I, we join David in rejoicing in the fact that God is a holy God who doesn't take pleasure in wickedness, as he says in verse 4. Nor is there any evil in God, nor are sinners able to stand in God's presence, which is a fearful thing, but ultimately a good thing, because it shows to us how wonderfully, perfectly pure and holy God is. So just as David does, so too are you not, to find joy in being heard by the only true and living God, who is the complete opposite of wicked, sinful, evil. God is perfectly holy. He only ever does good. He is perfectly ever, always and ever good, even in answering our prayers. Even though sometimes we might question his goodness if he doesn't answer quite in the way that we want him to. God is perfectly holy and only ever does good, even in answering of our prayers. That's why David has so much reverence for God in verse 7. Verse 7, we see where David separates himself, where he's describing what God is not like, and he separates himself from those unrepentant sinners who despise God, who despise God's law. And he recognizes that the only reason that he can come to God in prayer is because God has extended to him the hand of his abundant loving kindness. That's what he says in verse 7. But as for me, you know, God, you hate all these things, those sinners. But for me, even though I'm a sinner, we know that from David's life and scripture and his own confession, he says, but for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow down in reverence for you because of how great you are, because you are not a wicked God. David's joy is not based on his own sinlessness. David's joy is based on the unfailing covenant loyalty and love that God has for David. That's what abundant loving kindness means. God's loyal, covenant keeping, promise keeping, faithful love. And it's only because of God's grace that David comes into God's heavenly throne room, as it were, spiritually speaking, where he comes to God in prayer. And he comes to God as the Heavenly Father instead of his judge. How did David get to enjoy such love? Well, the Bible points us to Jesus. Jesus is the one who purchased that way. Jesus is the one who gave us the privilege and access to God and to fellowship with God through his own sacrificial blood, his life for our life. As Hebrews tells us, Jesus is our priest that lives forever. The reason you or David or I can bow down to God for reverence Not only that he's not wicked, but because he hears us. It's because Jesus, Hebrews says, has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever for us. Where through the eternal Spirit, Jesus offered himself without blemish to God to purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. By Jesus' single offering, you know, in the Old Testament, there were thousands upon thousands of offerings offered throughout the years. It reminded the people again and again how sinful we were, that we needed a life to atone for our life. But Jesus is so supreme that the Bible says, by Jesus' single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Hebrews says, therefore, we have confidence, like David. Therefore, we have confidence in Jesus. We have a great high priest over the house of God. And because of this, you and I are to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, not by our own good works, but by the atoning blood of Christ, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's through Christ alone that we have this guarantee of being heard by God. In Christ alone, we have the guarantee of being heard. I was talking with Sharon Deal recently, and she was talking about how she's had some issues with their landline and how some of the providers are disconnecting people and saying, hey, we're not going to give you phone lines anymore. And so she's had to switch to cell phones and talk to other people that are concerned about this happening to them. They're basically like, good luck finding somebody else, but you're not going to be connected anymore. One of the joys of being a Christian is that that will never happen to you. That will never happen to you when it comes to your direct line with God. Verse 11 tells us that we have joy. We had worship-filled gladness and joy and exaltation as a result of the fact that God of the universe, the God of the universe, guarantees that he will pick up every time you call. He will pick up every time because of the priestly work of Christ for you. It's only by God's grace that we this morning we can come to him in prayer, that we can rejoice with David, King David, that our King answers. He listens. He cares about our cries for help. You and I get to rejoice in the gracious guarantee that we are heard by God because of Christ. The second reason for joy in this psalm is the guarantee of justice. Justice. Beginning in verse 8, David calls on the Lord again to lead him. He uses the shepherding language. Lord, lead me, he says, in your righteousness because of my foes. He prays that God would make his path straight so he could follow the Lord without being tripped up by his enemies, by their lies, by their deceptions, by their violence, by their bloodshed. As we learn from Psalm 1, the blessed man, the blessed believer, is one who walks not in the way of the way of the wicked, because the wicked will not stand in judgment. The way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked leads to death. And that's what David is praying to the Lord for. God, I want to be like you. I don't want to be wicked. I don't want to be tempted to forsake you just out of fear for people that may want to kill me. We don't know the circumstances of this psalm, but it might apply, and as we've looked at recently with David and Absalom, where he's on the run and he has these foes and people lying about him, that he is incompetent as a king or whatever it may be. David finds joy in the fact that justice is coming. Not only that he has heard, but God is a God of holiness, which means that he doesn't let guilty people go unpunished. David asks the Lord to lead him in God's righteousness, to make God's way straight before him. Because every other way leads to death. Every other way leads to separation from God. Every other way, other than God's way of salvation and his law as the means by which we grow in God's holiness and goodness, every other way separates us from the joy of knowing God. And David doesn't want that. And not only that, in verse 10, David loves God so much that he calls God to bring this justice on the wicked. From other parts of Scripture, we know that, even though it's not included here, that those who turn from their sin and turn to God for mercy, asking for forgiveness, will receive it. But David's assuming here that those who don't turn from their sin, God, pour out your justice on them. May you be glorified not only when you show mercy and grace to people, but when you are a wonderful judge. Where people who don't turn from their sinful ways get what they deserve in your judgment and your justice. May you be glorified in both. Those who cling to their sin deserve vengeance. But David isn't saying, God, let me do it. Let me have revenge on these people who are my enemies, my foes. No, he recognizes that vengeance belongs to God. Ultimate justice belongs to God. But it's true. These people are sinning against David because they're his foes, lying, promoting bloodshed. But David says, you know, even though they're sinning against me, they're ultimately sinning against you. They're rebelling against you. As he says at the end of verse 10, the reason that justice belongs to the Lord is that all sins, even though I might sin against you, or you might sin against me, or your family members might sin against one another, ultimately all of our sin is a sin against a holy God. And David makes this point at the end of verse 10. All rebels are ultimately rebels against God. It's one of the hopes that you and I have as Christians, when Jesus comes again to wipe away every tear, to do away with death. One of the hopes we have is due to the fact that God is not only a gracious God, but he is a just God. He does not let the guilty go unpunished. So the second reason for joy in this psalm is this guarantee of justice. When we live in a sinful world full of injustice, you know, how does God want you to respond when you are sinned against, when you're tempted to take revenge into your own hands, as David is here? Well, this psalm helps to turn our hearts from bitterness that we might hold on to, or seeking revenge, or to sin against somebody because they sinned against me. It helps to turn our hearts from bitterness to joy, knowing that God's going to carry out justice on those who are rebellious against him. I don't have to put this pressure on myself that I need to make sure everybody gets what they deserve, especially those who sin against me. No, we have a wonderful, gracious God who showers his grace on us when we deserve his justice, his wrath. But even those who don't turn will receive God's justice. And this is a reason for joy. And the third reason for joy is the joy and the guarantee not only of being heard, the guarantee of God bringing about his justice, but the joy of the guarantee of God's protection. You might have noticed this in verse 11 already, but after David prays to God for his help, his protection for himself, David turns his attention to you and me, doesn't he, in verse 11. He says, let all who take refuge in God, in the Lord, what should we do? be glad. This is a psalm leading up to, you know, I'm calling out to the Lord. I find joy in being heard. I find joy in the fact that my God is not a wicked God. He is a holy, good, righteous God. I find joy even in the justice of God. And David says, everybody who comes to the Lord to find refuge, protection for your soul, be glad. David calls us to share in his Spirit-produced joy through the Holy Spirit. Because God protects every single last one of his children. He protects us. God says, David says, let all who take refuge in the Lord be glad. And he says, sing for joy. Exult in God. Why? Because God graciously blesses us, guarantees us eternal security. Three times in this passage, he uses security language toward the end of the passage. Protection language, verse 11. For all who take refuge, shelter, those who are shielded, all who enjoy the protection and hand of God, of our all-powerful King. Don't forget, that's one of the roles of a king, is to defend, to protect. We enjoy this protection. We give thanks to God for this immovable protection, which means we have an immovable joy. Even though our lives, we can admit it, our lives are filled with reasons that are legitimately concerned for our safety all the time. I saw a video recently of a truck driver lady just going, minding her own business on a bridge. All of a sudden, this car cuts out in front of her, and it looks like a movie scene where she's just hanging, dangling over the bridge. But luckily, she's an 18-wheeler, and she doesn't fall, and she's rescued. But, you know, there's reasons all the time for us to be worried about our security. And even more so for our souls. But the joy we have in Christ is that we have a guarantee of protection. Once again, Jesus is the reason we have joy. The joy in being heard, the joy in the coming justice of God being administered by the second person of the Trinity, by the Son of God himself, and the joy of protection in Christ. Jesus warned his disciples in John 16 when he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. People will hate you because they hate me. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. In Jesus' perfect life, in Jesus' atoning death, in Jesus' victorious resurrection, because Jesus lives forever as your King to guarantee your safety, we can have joy. No matter what temptation you face about the anxieties of this life, of the future to come, you and I can take heart. We can have courage. We can have joy because Jesus has overcome the world. And when we take the Lord's Supper, one of the glorious truths that we're reminded of in the Lord's Supper, so the reason we celebrate the Lord's Supper and the sacrificial death of Christ is because he now lives. It's not because he's remained dead. But in the death of Christ, we're reminded that Jesus isn't there still. He's victorious even over our worst curse that we have to fear, which is death. So like David, one of the best ways we can continue to have joy in any circumstance through the sustaining grace of God is through prayer. Prayer, not revenge, not bitterness, but calling out to God, help me to walk in your way. I am tempted to take things into my own hands. I am tempted to act vengefully, wickedly, just as those who are sinning against me. But God, help me to walk in your way. A cry of prayer, of complete creaturely dependence upon God, who alone is able to help us in our battle against sin. One of the joys we have in God's protection is the prayer of it guarantee of it. Prayer for it. As we sang last week in our in the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," so wonderfully put it. The joy we have in prayer that we often neglect says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So it's an encouragement to prayer. It says, what peace we often forfeit. Or maybe in this psalm we could say, what joy we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Because God is our King, our Defender, our Savior, you and I get to be joy-filled Christians. Joyful in the guarantee of being heard, because Christ is our priest. Joyful in the guarantee of justice, because one day Jesus, as our King, will finally and fully carry out justice. And we rejoice in the fact that He has taken on our judgment for us. But thirdly, we are to be joyful, glad, exult in God, as the psalm says, in the guarantee of protection, in which Christ provides the security as our King who makes the promises and carries them out faithfully, wonderfully, all the time. The joyful guarantee of protection secured by Christ our King, who lives and reigns forever. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, one God on whom we can depend on forever and will one day make all things right. This is the joy we have. This is the joy that David is leading us to have in this psalm. That you and I be joy-filled Christians because God is not just the God. He is our God, and He is our King. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come to You even when the promises and guarantees of this life oftentimes fail us. We know that Your Word never fails. It's always true and dependable, and we pray that You would help us when we neglect or doubt Your Word, that You would bury it deep in our hearts by the power of Your Spirit, that we would trust it and be changed by it. So we pray for the help of Your Spirit to produce in us not only love, not only a peace and knowing security of the future, whatever it may bring, but of joy. So we pray for Your help in the name of Christ, who lives and reigns as our good, holy, perfect, just, and gracious King. In His name we pray. Amen.